This is Jefferson Public Radio, coming to you live from our Redding, California studios, located right next door to the Cascade Theater. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Today I am joined in the studio by the Dave Rawlings Machine. It's really an all-star group. In addition to Dave Rawlings, singer-songwriter Gillian Welch is here. Also, Willie Watson, formerly of Old Crow Medicine Show, one of our recent in-studio guests. Brittany Haas, you might remember from the Crooked Still session, also the Haas, Cowart, Tice trio they were in recently. And on bass, Paul Cowart, the Punch Brothers. It is an amazing group, and we are thrilled to have you here. Welcome to the Dave Rawlings Machine.
Hey, thanks for having us.
I kind of can't believe you guys are all on stage together. It's almost like the New York Yankees of acoustic music now, right? Well, you're just stockpiling the talent in one place.
I know, it's sad that I've taken all of these people and made them do this one thing. It's kind of a the sum of the parts thing.
Oh, come on.
But no, it's a wonderful thing that we get to get together and do these shows sometimes. So we're really happy to be out here and kind of up in this part of the world. These are a lot of towns and places that we like to play that when we put out the Nashville Obsolete record, which was a little more than a year ago, I guess, we started rolling up north. We started the tour out on the West Coast and we headed right up to Seattle and all the way across the country and then down through New England and kind of had to get back to Nashville by Thanksgiving because everybody wanted to go home. And so we skipped a lot of these places right up here in Northern California that we love to play. So we'd always kind of planned that with Hardly Strictly Bluegrass down in Golden Gate Park at this time of year, we figured we'd be doing that with the machine and we'd kind of play all these nice little shows.
Is that a much different feel for you on stage to transition from a relatively medium-sized hall to a gigantic field full of people at Hardly Strictly?
You know, it's never been, I mean, we've been playing festivals. Some of our earliest plays when Gillian and I were starting out were down at, at Merle Fest and playing, you know, outdoor shows are kind of all the same because the sound goes out and it doesn't come back to you. So, I mean, even though when you're standing there at Hardly Strictly, sometimes you're looking at 100,000 people or more, it's kind of, you know, everybody's got a smile on their face. And I mean, that's a fun show because, you know, it's a great free show and nobody's paid to get in and everybody's just having a good time. So maybe it takes a little of the pressure off or something.
Yeah, in setting this up, our in-studio, I was emailing back and forth with their manager and said, you know, I'm not even sure who's in the band because I was at that show in Golden Gate Park.
Oh, right.
But so far away, I couldn't
even... Oh, you mean this year you were?
Yeah, I couldn't even tell who was in the band because they're so far away. Yeah,
it's a long ways back.
Well, before you guys launch into a tune, I want to talk a little bit about that transition from a Gillian Welch record to a Dave Rawlings Machine record because the core is the same, but
yeah,
yet there's
we write the songs basically the same, and there's really no difference other than we play with different people, and you know, you have to, and I'm singing,
and a few more forces sometimes
yeah,
on stage.
Yeah, it's nice. We get to kind of take them to a different place. You know, we get to sort of broaden them out. The one thing about when we play is the duet. You know, that's a very kind of minimalistic, very focused landscape. You know, it's like a dollhouse. It's like a world in miniature. And with this, we get to actually expand things and have those great low notes, you know, from the bass and those great high notes from the fiddle. So,
well, let's hear how it turns out. Okay. Dave Rawlings Machine, my guest, live in the studios
right
today. Just like an old That is the Dave Rawlings Machine live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Nashville Obsolete. Information on the band at DaveRawlingsMachine.com. Well, now you have four vocalists in the band. That's got to be quite a luxury.
Yeah, it's great. It's a lot of fun to get to sing four-part harmony every once in a while here.
And it allows you to do some additional creative things, like on The Last Pharaoh, there's this other line that comes in. Right? Because you've got an additional singer.
That's right. It was always, I guess, from the very beginning when we started out with The Machine, because we were playing with, you know, the Crows, who we'd done a lot of work with, and Ketch had a bass vocal, and Willie had sung with us a lot. We just started out that way. And when we got into the studio to make the first record, we played a lot like we're playing right here in this studio now, where we tried to put ourselves all on different microphones and recorded a little bit, and it didn't feel very good, and it didn't sound very good. And so we ended up pulling out sort of one omnidirectional microphone and standing four of us around it and starting to sing some of the songs that way. And it was really natural, and the sound was kind of big, and you couldn't really mix anything. Like, I see you out here. You're trying to move faders, and there's nothing to move. You keep looking down there. And
it's almost like gathered around a campfire.
Yeah, right? It's a little bit. And I mean, it works well for this kind of singing. And I mean, now that we've done it a lot on stage, we don't obviously play into one microphone on stage because it's a little claustrophobic for the people watching.
Yeah.
But in the studio, it's a lot of fun to do it that way.
Early on, when the first couple of Gillian Welch records came out, there was a lot of, I wouldn't say negative, but there was a lot of sort of meh critiques of them, in that there was this backlash to what was perceived as inauthenticity, right? Like, there's this woman from New York, grew up in California. Well, how dare she make all of this old time music? But yet, here we are 20 some odd years later, and you guys are being awarded with a Lifetime Achievement Award for songwriting.
Well, it was always strange. I mean, to us, we just started out playing what we liked. And, you know, you're a kid, you don't think about it. You know, you don't think that anyone is going to tell you that you shouldn't be doing something. But, you know, I mean, because it just comes out of listening to things, and it comes out of sort of natural impulses. I mean, the early 90s or mid 90s were a great time to decide that playing and writing old time traditional style music was the road to riches. Like, what? Like, what did they want us to do?
Well, there was one album that did okay during that period.
Yeah, right? If you're talking about Oh Brother, I mean, that's something that's happened a lot of times in the world, where about every 20 years, we're coming up to due to one. I mean, before that, it was Will the Circle Be Unbroken? The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band put that out in about 72. But yeah, but it seems like about every 25 years or so, people are ready for another collection of old-time music. So
yeah, John McEwen was just here a couple of weeks ago, I was prompting him on whether there would be another volume of that coming out at some time soon.
I bet there will be.
Well, one thing that I loved about listening to those records under the Gillian name and the records of Dave Rawlings' Machine is that there is this timelessness to them. If you don't open the booklet and go through them song by song, you wouldn't know that they were new songs.
Oh, nobody ever would have known. I mean, that's the funny thing about the early records was, you know, it wasn't. In fact, you know, one of the first critiques we ever got was from this girl who wrote from Rolling Stone, and we happened to know that she'd written a rave about the record, and then her boyfriend had gone to school or something, or knew Gillian had been in California, and told her, and she rewrote the whole thing.
So basically, she liked the record, thought it was great, and then was told that I had grown up in Los Angeles and ripped it up.
So that knowledge
pretty much sums up my opinion of that.
So don't tell anyone that Hemingway wasn't a Cuban fisherman. We'll get in trouble.
Well, is it true that you were in a goth band when you were in college?
I don't know. I mean, as true as it is that you did, you know, things when you were... Wikipedia is a horrible thing.
Is that one of those additional lines that just somebody added, or were you off in different musical territory years ago?
Is it even interesting? I don't know.
I think you
I still wear black clothes. I'm wearing a black dress today. I really like black. Black is a great color.
Worked for Johnny Cash, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Dave Rawlings' Machine, my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio.
Let's play this one that you were talking about, The Last Pharaoh.
Cool.
Willie, I'll add that part. We got our two of the guitars here, Gillian's guitar and Willie's guitar, sort of prepared in a Johnny Cash style here to make more of a snare drummy sound. So hit yours, Willie. And yours, Gil. All right, there you go. We put it together, it goes like this.
Okay. chicken, that chicken in the pot. Old woman in my own backyard. I don't need a chicken, chicken, chicken in the pot. The way I need the next high car. So I'm looking for the last favorite. The night falls on the land. Said I'm looking for the last favorite. And I'm gonna lay him down if I can. Yes, I am.
That is the Dave Rawlings Machine live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The newest recording is called Nashville Obsolete. Information at DaveRawlingsMachine.com. Well, something like 5 years went by before a new record. I mean, there was a Gillian record, but
yeah. We put out that Gillian record and, we were busy as can be, you know. We did a lot of touring for that, and then... I produced a record on Willie and produced a record on Dawes and, got to coming around to writing those songs. So, and as much as time goes by nowadays, I think there's kind of a new normal as far as when records come out for people because, everybody's largely supporting themselves on the road since, music became less of a saleable commodity. It used to be back in the day, people made records pretty frequently because that was kind of how you made your living.
Right.
And now most people make their living playing shows. So that takes time.
And there was also about an 18-month window before a record company would want a new record, right?
Well, I mean that is kind of true now. Yeah. More than there was. It used to be it was about 9 months and they wanted something else.
Unless you're Ryan Adams and then it's Monday. Every Monday
he puts
out a new record.
Yeah.
I'm always fascinated to watch you play guitar. Because this is the Epiphone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks like you are forcing the notes out of the thing. Like, give it up, give it up, make another note.
Well, I've been playing it a long time. There might be a few left.
Like sort of strangling it on stage. It's a very deliberate style of picking.
I don't really know. I don't think of it that way. I guess it's just, I'm just trying to get tone out of it. And it's a small box, but it has a lot of mid-range sort of projection in it, which is why I like to play that guitar. It has a little bit of an element of a sound of a dobro or a mandolin. It kind of straddles a few instruments. And that makes it fairly versatile, but maybe not the most relaxing thing to play.
Yeah. A while back, you guys taped an episode of the Bluegrass Underground program.
Right.
And I want to ask, I've never spoken to anybody that's had an opportunity to play in that underground
cavern.
What is it like to be down there? Does it feel claustrophobic at all?
No, it's a pretty big space. I mean, if you're really, it's not the most comfortable thing traveling down into it because there's some smaller places as you take the path down to where the stage is. And it goes quite a bit further in than where the stage is. The stage, thankfully, isn't all the way at the back. You kind of feel like you're midway out of the cave when you're playing. I mean, to me, the most interesting thing, or the thing that I think would surprise most people, is when you think about playing in a cave, you think it's going to be like a cathedral, or it's going to be incredibly echoey.
Yeah.
And the fact is, you know, bare rock like that is fairly porous and actually absorbs a decent amount of sound. So it has a nice, you know, reverb to it, but it's not like a polished stone surface where the reverb just goes.
Yeah. Like all those stalagmites and stalactites, you know, they're real asymmetrical and they have.
Yeah, well, and there's a ton of pores there, so you know, it's the sound gets soaked up. So it's a lot like what you would actually put in a professional recording studio, which is kind of funny.
It's still a little spooky though.
Right.
So it's a little bit like being in a goth band.
Yeah.
Well, and you're only one power outage away from chaos.
That's right.
Everybody down there.
Isn't that true about the entire world?
Yeah. What, like a mile underground or something like that?
Yeah.
It's insane. Well, I want to circle back around to this Lifetime Achievement Award. Okay. It just happened at the Americana Awards not that long ago. And does it feel weird to be at this point of your lives and careers and being awarded?
We thought maybe they wanted us to stop, you know? You're like, you've done enough.
Do you feel, wait a minute, I have more to say? Or...
Sure. Yeah. I mean, no, it was nice that they did it. And, you know, they to be perfectly frank and honest, they wanted to give us that 2 or 3 years ago. And we're like, you're crazy. And then eventually we're just like, okay.
But yeah, people may not know this, but when someone's going to give you like a Lifetime Achievement Award, they actually ask you your permission. They ask if you want to get it.
Or can you postpone it, right?
Yeah,
like jury duty.
So we did.
They asked a couple times and we're like, no.
And then we were finally like, okay, we can do it. But, you know, I mean, it's as much for, I mean, it's a great thing, I guess, because it was for songwriting. The thing that made me the proudest of it was just that the songs themselves that we started writing 20 years ago, that those things have found their way in the world. And we wouldn't have gotten that if people hadn't played them at campfires and hadn't played them in their gigs and hadn't sort of taken them and given them a life outside of what, you know, Gillian's been able to do and what we've been able to do with them together. So
it goes way beyond our performance
of them
and way beyond our records, I think is what were saying, you know, and that's the thing that is beyond anyone's control.
Right.
You know, it's if they become the campfire classic.
Right. Or, you know, something like Elvis Presley Blues, which is a song of ours that we've always liked playing. I mean, at this point, I think Joan Baez has covered it. Jimmy Buffett's covered it. Tom Jones just put it on a record. And it's great to see. And they're all like wonderful versions. And it's great to
see
it.
Grace Potter.
Yeah.
I think it's our most recorded song.
But it's funny to see who takes it and makes it their own. I mean, you know, Tom Jones' version is, it's funny because Jimmy Buffett did a nice edit on it and he made it kind of, he did a great job like making it slightly poppier than our first version. And then I think Tom Jones might have heard his version and did another little trim down to it. So it's cool to see, you know, to see that. So, I mean, as far as that award went, I mean, that's what I was mainly thinking about was just, I was happy the songs had done something.
Yeah. Well, I and many others are glad that you are not at the end. And
no, it's the end. That was the last song.
You're never writing another tune.
Yes, exactly.
Dave Rawlings Machine, my guest, live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Dave Rawlings, Gillian Welch, Willie Watson, Paul Coert, and Brittany Haas, all in our tiny Reading studio. We have time for one more?
All right, sure. And this is, speaking of songwriting, this is one that I wrote a long, long time ago with Ryan Adams. One, a two. A 1, 2, 3, 4. Lord, I
is the Dave Rawlings Machine, live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Dave Rawlings, Gillian Welch, Willie Watson, Paul Coward, and Brittany Haas. The latest release is Nashville Obsolete. Information at DaveRawlingsMachine.com. Dave, guys, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having
us.
Hey,
man, thanks for having us.